And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
Yes, he is, and I'm Master Peregrine. On today's show, we talk to singer-songwriter Engeo.
Neo, I think is how you pronounce
it.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Ellie Gies, I have no idea what that is, for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens. It's Bath Operatic's latest show.
Ooh, plus news and chat and all things a little bit of quoi.
All today, right here on Shout Out. That really threw me. Oh, hello.
Hello, darling.
So,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's nice.
It's just nice.
And Lucy's back on form as well.
Yeah, and we're now level 11 friends.
Level 11 friends.
We're booked.
Okay,
we leveled
explain.
Up. Yeah. We have leveled up.
Explain. Are you a level 11 friend?
Yeah. Ez killed a boss using her last spell.
I did.
And that leveled up our friendship.
Can I ask which game is this?
Our game.
It's just some riffing off some tabletop RPG that we've just made up that I'm only just talking
it's
about.
It's called Ludibus Quest Superheroes.
Love
yeah,
it.
That really threw me when you did that in the intro to the show. All things Ludibus Quest.
It's off a video of a little girl sat with her mum in the car, and she sees a sign that says LGBTQI+, and she just says, "Mummy, what is Ludibus Quest?" And then her mum sort of says, "That is what it shall be known now forever. The Ludibus Quest community."
How was holiday?
Oh! Yeah, I mean, Steph
you
was there.
You had to think then. That was a bit worried.
And you know, I dealt with that. But... No, it was
listeners, if you can see Steph's face in the corner right now.
I was a passenger
princess. Someone's not going to lift home.
Terry, what have you done? Yeah, no, it was a wonderful break, actually. Italy's beautiful. We had gelatos, we had pasta, we had pizza.
You went very stereotype.
Yeah, and we also had some really lovely encounters with some really special people. We go every year, but the cafe that we go to most mornings in Sirmione, the female barista, she was incredibly lovely because she remembers us every year.
All right.
And came up to us delighted to see us.
You are pretty unforgettable, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did pay her to be nice to Steph, but she was, you know, she did it well, very performative.
We were quite surprised to see you on holiday because last we heard you'd hit 40 and been dumped in a field and left.
Well, she said she was going to Leonardo da Cappuccino me, she didn't. I'm still here, and I'm still queer. And
Arby is looking so confused by this conversation.
Utterly befuddled.
Right, so Steph made a joke that all started because of something silly I said, that she was going to dump me when I turned 40. Because de cappuccino decapitates his relationships when anybody reaches 25. So that's the running joke. But no, it was lovely. And it's weird to me. It's always a strange transition for me coming back and going back to work. And
seeing all of us.
Yeah. You know, having to deal with you. But no, it's wonderful to be back. And I've not been on radio for a month.
Well, you missed a lot.
I feel like I have, including
certain hammocks.
We're not
hammocks.
Talking about that
banana
again.
No.
We've moved on.
Ez Nia,
level 11 friendship.
Yeah,
now,
level 11.
I don't want to jeopardise that.
Yeah, but this was a Lara thing, not a...
Well, you know. Yeah, but...
I mean, Ez might have hammocks.
I used to.
They don't, that's the point.
But
okay,
I went to Turkey.
Yeah.
Well, if you are missing Lara, she spoke to Neo, I believe is how you pronounce it, Neo Nio. She says it right at the top, so...
I'm so sorry, because I
struggle... It's N-G-A-I-O.
Yeah, I struggle with pronunciations, so I apologise. But it sounds like it's going to be a really incredible show, actually.
Yeah, singer-songwriter. Lara, over to you.
Hi, so I'm joined by Nio.
Hello.
I'm so excited to talk to you about your latest remixes and album and all that stuff.
Thank you.
But first, would you like to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about you and your music?
Yeah, so my name's Nio. I'm a
DJ, a vocalist, a new producer, and I've been singing since I was a child, but I think it's only really in the last few years I felt like I've really started to embrace my music and my musical journey. So I've always been very inspired, like I grew up listening and singing jazz, and then I grew up within the sort of the Bristol bass scene of dubstep and drum and bass and all the gun finger ones and then began DJing and set up Booty Bass, and then that was also a really important time just in terms of like learning about music technology. So I feel like where I am now, I'm kind of really bringing all of those aspects of my personality, my musical personality, together, and it's really exciting.
Okay, what's been the most exciting part of that journey for you, discovery?
I think the most exciting part has actually been learning to produce. You know, it requires so much patience and self-belief and the ability to step back from your work and edit it in a completely different way. It's a really vulnerable space to be in, you know, and I think coming from a space of, you know, when you're DJing, you're playing tracks and you're responding to an audience and you're in a kind of a different vibe. And when I'm singing, again, it's very immediate. It's like singing and DJing, these are very immediate things. Production is not immediate, you know, it's like songwriting, it's not immediate. Like, you have to really allow yourself to take time. And I think that's been really good for me from a creative perspective, but also probably from a personal perspective.
Why is that? What's the personal side of it? Like, is it, I guess, taught you patience or?
Patience, but also, like, you have to be really kind to yourself. You have to really slow down. You have to accept that one thing might not be perfect, and that doesn't mean that the whole thing's awful. You have to allow yourself to be in a creative space, go away for weeks, you know, potentially, and come back and allow that process. And so, yeah, it takes, like, I think that just that slowing down has been really good for me, because I'm someone who operates at 1,000 miles a minute, doing all of the projects and spinning all of the plates. And actually, this has required such a different response and kind of approach to my creative practice, which I think has been really good for me to learn on a personal level as well.
You feel that in such a beautiful way, because, you know, that process is really hard to slow down, but it's so important to, like, the process of producing music. And when you hear a song, you don't realize how much, like, effort and love goes into that song. But I want to kind of go back to the past a little bit, like, what initially inspired you to get into music? You said you were, like, you know, singing quite a lot when you were younger. Was it choirs that you were getting into? Like, how did you get into music initially? What inspired you?
I think the thing is, singing was just something that I always did. It wasn't like a specific moment. Well, actually, I tell a lie. There was one specific moment, and I remember it differently from my mum. It was funny. She told me the actual story the other day. So when I was about 5, I was in rural Wales. We'd just moved there. And they said, oh, we're gonna do, you know, some sort of like a showcase or whatever. And I went home and I said, Mum, I'm going to sing a song at this showcase. And she was like, okay. And I sang this song called Down Came the Rain, and it's like a real belty song. And I just remember going out on stage, like, my shoulders all the way up to my ears, so, like, because I was so nervous and so stressed, and belting out this song at the top of my lungs, and looking out at the audience, and just loads of parents would just burst into tears. And I was like, wow, my little voice just did that. Like, that's so incredible. And I think even from such a young age, I was just like, this is the power that music has. And, you know, and I was the only brown person in that town, you know, and that was like the moment where I was like, you know, it doesn't matter what projections people put on me, it doesn't matter how bullied I was eventually, you know, very badly bullied, But I knew that I had a talent, and I knew that my talent could affect people, and I knew that music was something that was always going to be like a really powerful tool for connection. And I think once you know that inherently about something that you can just do, like, you know, I wasn't trained in singing, it was just in me. And I was like, well, if it's there, who am I to not use it and enjoy it and share it, you know? Because every performance, you're sharing a part of yourself. And I think for me, real, like, music that really touches me, the music I really remember is music that's really authentic, and you can hear the journey that someone's been on even within that song.
100%. And I guess that reminds me of a phrase on your latest remix, Hold It Down. Hold You Down. And you say you're perfect, but you learnt not to see it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a powerful phrase. And so you say that, you know, music can be used as a tool and is it like a shining a light on, you know, the darkness and things like that. Why do you think it's so important for you to share your, like, your beautiful voice and the messages that you particularly share with people?
I think that my voice has always just been something that I have trusted. You know, I think it's not even necessarily feeling like, oh, I've got such a beautiful voice, I must, you know, share it with the world, because where will people be without it? It's more just been a case of like, I trust my voice, and that is in terms of singing, in terms of the things I have to say. And I think that's a really difficult place to kind of get to sometimes. I think getting to the point where you kind of go, you know what, my thoughts are valid. My opinion is valid. I'm allowed to stand up and say what I think. And it took me a really long time to get there. But I think that's part of it. And I think especially with the Four Quarters EP and the remixes that have come of that, the premise behind this project has been, you know, my project before that called We Fly was really a project that was written out of frustration, you know, frustration from the way that people see me as a black woman, the way that people see me as a mixed race woman, the way people see me as a woman, the way people decide to see me as a straight woman, you know, all of these things, and then all of the things that you have to deal with off the back of that. So the misogyny and the racism and the sexism and the harassment, you know, and it was really written from that space. Four Quarters was about going, okay, I've said what I have to say. That is still, most of that is completely still true. I mean, you know, we're all allowed to evolve and change our opinions, but like, actually I still stand by a lot of that. But actually, what do I need to write for me? And what do I need to write for the other people like me? And that's why Hold You Down was such an important one, because it's going, you know, we are perfect. Every single one of us is perfect in whatever we are. It's society that tells us that we're not. And it's these little nuggets of negativity that seep into our brain that stops us from seeing that we are goddesses, that stops us from seeing that we are just, it's essentially just who we are meant to be. You know, that's why the lead single was called Who We Are. Like, we're allowed to be our full selves. So I think it was more of that, really. And I really wanted people to listen to the project and go out feeling amazing. That was the purpose.
Yeah, and I came to your EP launch of Four Quarters. It was in like this Beacon.
Yeah, Cellars.
Cellars, and it was giving like Mother Nature. It was gorgeous. And I really loved you did this activity where we went around and said the beautiful things and gave it to people. That was really gorgeous. But like, you know, Four Quarters, I'm really interested in, you know, what other songs you felt like really would resonate with people and why you think it would resonate with them.
So Baggage was one that I kind of knew everyone was going to need to have in their lives, you know. And Baggage is about shaking off all of that weight that we get born with, you know. And whether that be weight from our ancestors, maybe that's weight from our parents, maybe that's weight from societal expectations, but all of these things that, especially if you're coming from a marginalized group, you know, you carry it with you and it weighs you down, and it is so hard even to decipher what it is enough to take it off. And that's why with baggage, that's when I did that moment and I said, you know, to everybody, okay, I want you to go and find someone that you don't know and give them a quote that, you know, that I'd got people to sort of write down. And
I still got mine.
Yeah. Oh, yay. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, I got it on my desk, like just perched there.
Oh, yay. So cute. But, you know, but that was the point. It was about going, you know, we're all carrying baggage. Every single one of us, we are human. It's okay. But what we need to be able to do is put that baggage down and give ourselves permission to put that down, just put the pain down, you know. And I think we get used to carrying so much pain and to carry the weight of the world and people's expectations. And this is about saying, you don't need to do that. I'm giving you permission, so you can give yourself permission to just shake it off. Shake it all off.
And what did it feel like for you to put your baggage down? Like you say, you know, from that journey of being, you know, quite bullied and, you know, then using your music for good and really like using it as a force to inspire people. Do you think in that process between then and like now, you've put that baggage down? And what does that, has that felt like for you?
I think there's some baggage which is always going to be hard to put down. I think a lot of mine has been wrapped up in racism and family and the complexity of being mixed race when you are coming from two races and two classes of people who do not trust each other, and having to deal with the ignorance of being that bridge. So a big part of, yeah, I think through the writing of this project, some of that baggage was letting some of those people go and actually saying, I love me and my little me enough to no longer put us in this unsafe space. It's very hard to do, but, you know, so necessary. And I think that was a real big one because, you know, you're told family is loyalty, blood is blood. And it's like, okay, but this isn't good for me. So when do I put me first? You know, so I think that has been a massive bit of baggage that has been, yeah, like I've just seen not only my work, but my personal life and my sense of self just flourish in the last,
that's amazing to hear,
5 years.
And I just want to touch on the fact that, sorry, but your last song, So Hold It, Hold You Down, you filmed in 4 different locations.
I did.
And I know I've kind of come back to that now, but I'm super interested in, like, you know, you put this baggage down, you're like, you're flourishing. And it really feels like these, going to these locations, even though, you know, it's been over a long period of time, it kind of is, it shows that evolution in you.
Yeah.
And I've seen you grow and it's been gorgeous. So what does it mean to, like, you know, have moved on from that, you know, place you've been, and now you're going to 4 different locations and filming this incredible video?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, actually, because when I watched the first edit all the way through, I burst into tears because I was like, this is literally a snapshot into, yeah, exactly that. It's this is my journey. This is the journey that I've been on for the past 4 years, and it's all in this music video, and it's showing so many different elements of my life. So, you know, some of the footage in there is footage that I took when I was in Nigeria. So I'm half Nigerian, and I'd went
big
to
up.
And I'd gone there for the first time. And so that's just like phone footage. The second location, so that was in 2020. That was literally just before the lockdown happened. Then filmed in Ghana. And that was in, I would say, 2021, 2022, maybe 2022. And then it was performing all of my own productions on the Glastonbury stage at Greenpeace for the first time. And that was in 2024. And then more Glastonbury footage from 2023, I think. And then footage from when I went to a songwriting camp in, well, the reason I was in Marrakesh is because I was doing a songwriting camp. And then after that, the person who I've been doing this video with, Lottie, who is the best, came and met me out there, and we got a re-ad for 3 days and we filmed the rest of the video. So it's like, and that was, yeah, at the beginning of last year in 2024. So seeing all of that happen in a music video is just like, wow, if you could, you know, you couldn't have more of a kind of an overview of the journey, the musical, the personal, the creative journey and evolution that I've been on, you know. So yeah, I'm very thankful that we managed to do that video.
What would you say to, you know, someone that is like a young queer person that like is inspired by you and really wants to start their own music journey but is scared or doesn't have the tools? What could they put in place to like start what you have and yeah, forge their own path?
I think the main thing is knowing that if you don't fit in, that's a good thing. You know, I think we are always being told that we should be fitting into someone's idea of what we should be, whether that be what their queerness looks like, or their blackness looks like, or their creativity looks like. And I think actually the best thing you can do is just say, no, I'm just going to go and experiment, and I'm going to not allow anyone to tell me who I am or tell me what I should sound like or tell me what my look should be. Because also in this very commercialized world that we're in, people are being told that they need to be a brand. Like, if you're going to be a musician, you have to be a brand because that's what labels like, and you have to fit in this box because that's how you can be sold. And for me, that's just not what creativity is about. It's like, it should be something that feels really authentically you. It should be something where when you're sharing it, you feel empowered and you feel like you are able to be your full self. And I think allowing yourself to do that is really important. And, you know, from a perspective of the tools that you need, I mean, there are so many tools out there now. It's amazing. Like, when I was 15, 16, there was no music tech that I had access to, you know, and that's completely different now. You know, you get GarageBand with your laptop, you can upgrade it to Logic if you've got the money, you can get Ableton and play around with it. Like, there's so much there now, and I think it's just about going, yeah, what do I want to play with? What's going to make this super fun and super enjoyable? And just knowing that it does not have to be perfect. It never needs to be perfect, because it never will be perfect. That's the thing. Nothing is ever perfect.
It's never perfect. It can be imperfectly perfect.
Exactly.
And I love that about it. And your music feels perfect to me, but I know it's different. So where can I find out more about you, Naya? Like, where could your social medias? Tell us a little bit about that.
Where's all the things?
Where's all the things,
baby? Yeah. Well, I'm on all the Facebook. I'm on, yeah, Instagram and TikTok at Naio A Music, which is NGAIOA Music. I'm pretty sure that's the same for my YouTube. And then I'm also on Facebook, but I share things there, but I don't be on there. And
all
then
right.
There's the website, www.naiomusic.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been so privileged to hear your journey and sit with you. Thank you so much for giving it to us. And yeah, we hope to see you soon. Back to you. Shout out.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That is that very nice. That's no,
absolutely loved that. That was amazing. Actually, we were like doing a little bop.
Yeah, it's really. We don't normally get bass that much in the studio.
No,
that really was coming out bassy.
Really, really good.
Yeah,
loved it. Loved it.
We got a few tracks, so I might see if I'm putting another one in future week.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd love that.
Like that, yeah, be good.
Yeah.
I'm still upset that you've tricked me with your t-shirt that the listeners can't see because it's radio. So listeners, Andy has a t-shirt on, and as he walked into the studio today, he said, "If I win this game, then you owe me a bag of sour sweets." And his t-shirt says, "Turn around, please. Chicken game. Don't look at the chicken. There's a massive chicken, and in the middle of the chicken, it says game over." Guess
yeah,
I lost
well,
that one.
I want a bag of sweets out of it. It was so worth buying the t-shirt
you
for.
Have, to be fair.
So anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Why not?
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
Bristol Bear Bar, the legendary venue on the junction of Midland Road and West Street, has been amongst the many scene sources to pay tribute to Hairy Mary, a much-loved figure from the Bristol and Cardiff gay scenes who has passed on to the realm of our LGBTQIA plus ancestors. A Bear Bar spokesman said, "This week, the Bristol music scene has lost one of its most unforgettable characters. Hairy Mary, the Welsh bear with a heart as big as his laugh and a wardrobe as minimal as his inhibitions, has sadly passed away. For those lucky enough to have known him, Hairy Mary was much more than just a fixture in the crowd. He was the crowd. A man of boundless energy, infectious enthusiasm, and a deep love for disco and cheesy pop music. He brought joy, chaos, colour wherever he went. Whether dancing shirtless at the front of the dance floor or sharing a pint with strangers, he embodied the spirit of the scene. He was a regular at some of Bristol's most iconic gay venues, such as The Elephant, The Oasis, The Griffin, Queen Shilling, Pineapple and BBB, each one echoing with the memories of his unmistakable presence. Shoutout's team would like to echo this fitting tribute to the man and legend that was Hairy Mary, a product of the gay scene when it was much more close-knit, underground than today, and offered a real social solidarity. We will not, in all possibility, see his like again, which makes the time he spent sharing our spaces, music and laughter all the more precious."
Keshet UK, the UK's largest organisation representing LGBTQIA people from a Jewish background, published a message on Thursday of this week expressing solidarity with the wider Jewish community over the murderous attack on a Manchester synagogue that took place on the Holy Feast day of Yom Kippur. The attack was perpetrated by an apparent religious extremist who had been fed anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. LGBTQIA Jews have long pointed out that anti-Semitic conspiracies often echo and even incorporate homophobic conspiracy beliefs within them. Keshet UK stated, "We are heartbroken by the anti-Semitic terror attack at Heaton Park Hebrew Congregation in Manchester on our holiest day, Yom Kippur. We stand in solidarity with the victims, their loved ones and the entire Jewish community in Manchester and across the UK. We are deeply grateful to CST, Greater Manchester Police and all those who work tirelessly to keep the community safe. May the memories of those killed be a blessing."
Now, independent, progressive, radical, feminist and LGBTQIA plus bookstores have long been a haven for people from all sections of the rainbow LGBT plus family. Now, reports LGBTQ Nation, a top US-based queer newswire, black lesbians in New York have their very own independent bookstore to support. Reporter Greg Owen writes, "Gladys Books and Wine opened this week in the Bedford Stuyvesant neighbourhood and was packed with mostly young black lesbians hungry for culture and connection offline and IRL and celebrating the new and nerdy addition to the neighbourhood. The narrow bookstore on Malcolm X Boulevard was packed with dozens of lovers of books who also love women, smiling, laughing and talking amongst the shelves and the arts devoted to black and women creators," so said a report in the New York Times. Owner Tiffany Doherty has invested a leap of faith in the bookstore, but so far it's paying great dividends, with many black lesbians and their friends popping by to chat, buy and discuss literature.
The Good Law Project, a progressive legal organisation which pursues cases allied to forward-thinking politics, has issued a call for supporters and ordinary members of the LGBTQIA plus communities to come together to hold Virgin Gyms to account. They explain, "Virgin Active was created as an inclusive gym where everyone was welcome. Now, after a legal threat from GB News presenter Michelle Dubry, they've turned their back on trans people and enacted a changing room and bathroom ban. Virgins say it's because they're following the law, but they're not following the law, they're just transphobes. It doesn't matter what Michelle Dubry and Sex Matters say, the Supreme Court judgment doesn't force businesses to rip up their policies, the law hasn't changed, the Equality and Human Rights Commission guidance is just that, guidance. If you would like to participate in the campaign, visit www.action.goodlawproject.org.
RCS Radio Today, a media news site, reports that broadcasting regulator Ofcom have sanctioned Belfast's full-time LGBTQIA plus radio station for not adequately serving the community. Ofcom ruled that most of Juice FM's output that they monitored over a several-day eavesdrop consisted of pop music and announcements about that pop music. In other words, the regulator felt that the service provided by Juice was no different from large pop networks such as KISS or Capital. The BBC News Channel followed up by asking the station for its response, and Juice Radio's head, Shane Pearce, has criticised the ruling and said that Ofcom was flip-flopping over what it actually wants. Juice said that it broadcast a show called A Morning Dedicated to Matters, which it described as a dedicated space for exploring LGBT plus issues. In addition, it also said it broadcast a feature called Listen with Pride, which highlights support organisations more than 160 times each week. The station also said that it recruited volunteers from the LGBT community and had broadcast live from events such as Belfast Pride.
Do stay in touch with the LGBTQIA community media throughout the week, whether it's online, in a podcast, or even in print. And be sure to join us next time for more LGBTQIA news. You can also find us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter.
And Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Now, I don't think I'm going to do a proper intro here. All I'm going to give you is the title, and you can go from there. Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens. I'm joined by Richard P. Richard, welcome. Now, before we get into the chat about that, give us a bit of background of Bath Operatic and your part in that.
Yeah, sure. So Bath Operatic Dramatic Society, or BODS, has been around for something crazy, 150 years, something crazy like that. It's a very, very old society. We put on shows in the Bath area, typically a musical in the Theatre Royal in the spring. So they just did we did Oklahoma last, which is very, very good, and then a smaller, more unusual show in the autumn, and Elegies certainly falls into that camp. And I'm the director of Elegies, and I direct for BODS.
Okay, so how many people are in this production that you've got coming up?
So there's 30 in the show, Yeah, it's been really, really positive experience.
So tell us a little bit about what the show is about, because it's a great title.
Oh, it's a fantastic title. Yeah, it's I think it's a really, really important piece, right? So Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens was written by Bill Russell, and it is it's themed around the AIDS memorial quilt. So it's really started off as a collection of poems about some of the people who died from AIDS, mostly centered around San Francisco in the 1980s. And then Bill Russell built that into a musical with some songs by Janet Hood. And it's created this beautiful piece, which is really all about remembering, right? It's really all about telling stories to keep alive the memories of these people who went through such a horrible time at a time, and also the moments of kindness, I suppose, where when people are in such a dark place, you know, little moments of kindness and how they can really, really help people in those times. So it's a beautiful piece, all themed around the AIDS memorial quilt, and it's we're really, really proud to be kind of staging it this week in Bath.
Is it staged like a typical classic opera?
It's really not. It's been really interesting to. So the way it works, right, is the cast is about 30 people, like I say, and it's structured between most of the cast, about 26, are people who have died from AIDS coming back to tell their story in the form of a monologue. So we have all sorts of different people from different walks of life who died from AIDS, people who were kind of on the scene in San Francisco, people who were younger, older, maybe through blood transfusions they caught, HIV and so on. So it's a really all walks of life come back and tell their story. And then we have a small group of singers singing the beautiful music, and they represent the living, the people who were left behind, who are grieving, telling stories about, you know, having to move on and actually kind of missing the people who have gone away. So, and look, I think it's a really important moment to be doing this, because it reminds us that, you know, in this time sometimes where minorities are sort of, you know, kind of picked on and victimized and so on, it reminds us that these are very human stories, and this happened to so many different types of people. So it very much happened to us, not happened to some vague them, right, who are somehow to blame. So it's a really important piece to be presented right at this moment in history, I think.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Is there an orchestra accompanying the singers and the monologue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a small band. It's just literally keys, strings and harp. So it's a nice little small sound. And the Mission Theatre where we're producing it is a nice intimate venue. So the idea is to create a lovely, cozy environment where people can stand up and tell their story, right, and remind us of what happened.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So how do people get tickets and also get to the venue?
So the venue is in Bath. It's right next to the Avon Street car park in Bath. So it's right in the centre of Bath. In terms of getting tickets, you can get them from Ticket Source. The best way to do it is if you Google Mission Theatre Bath, you will find the link at the top there to Elegies, and you can purchase tickets that way. But we're hoping to create a lovely group of people. Oh, one more thing I should definitely say is when people come and see the show, we would definitely ask people to wear the brightest, most vibrant clothes you own to be in solidarity with the characters who died of AIDS. We're really trying to create a quilt in the audience, if you like, right, where we have all these different colors and different there's a lovely line which is we gather here in a crazy montage, right? So we're trying to create that montage, the quilt in the audience.
Now, before I say goodbye, I know what directors are like, producers and writers. Once they've got done one thing or is about to be performed, they're already thinking about the next thing down the line. Have you got anything else in your head or planned?
Oh, look, this is the problem. This is why I can't sleep, Steph. It's always bubbling away, different things. I'm going to be directing a beautiful piece called Come From Away next year, in Bath, which is all about, if people know it, a musical about 9/11 and Gander and what happened there. So that's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And then the most important thing is Bods, the next show they have is Joseph. Joseph and his amazing technical Dreamcoat, which is in April at the Bath Theatre Royal. So, but yeah, like you say, always bubbling away with ideas, but Elegies is a real privilege.
Richard Pugh, thank you so much for joining us here on Shout Out and Break a Leg.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, wow, that brings back some memories, that.
Bit of clubbing.
Yeah.
Sorry, my headphones are doing their own thing.
Oh, I'm still stacking the shelves here, guys.
Yeah, you were. Stacking on the shelves.
I didn't realise that's Passion by Eamon. That Shock to Fame at Love Muscle, which was at the Fridge in Brixton in the 90s.
And
I didn't realise this year they brought Love Muscle back. Unfortunately, not at the Fridge. It doesn't exist anymore.
The Fridge not exist?
No, not to my knowledge.
The Fridge or the Fringe?
It was called the Fridge.
The Fridge.
R.I.P. Yeah. The Fridge.
Yes, it was the place to go in London in the 90s.
Sorry, okay. And it had a big queer following, didn't it? Massive queer following. Lots of LGBT club nights there.
Yeah, you'd often go to like GAY and like dance your tits off to lots of camp stuff, and then you go across to the Fridge and dance till like 6 in the morning.
Man, GAY was the very first gay nightclub I went to. It was a little newly out, little baby gay.
When it was at Astoria.
At the Astoria, yeah. And, you know, when Kylie's Better Than Devil You Know came on, and everyone went wild and balloons dropped from the ceiling, and I was like, I think this is a moment. I'm not quite sure what's going on here.
Well, it moved from the Astoria a few years ago. Quite a few years ago.
I'm showing my age then, because I only remember it from the Astoria.
Well, the building was in quite a state, and I think it actually got knocked down and rebuilt, but sadly GAY has just actually closed. Yeah, they closed their doors
Did you all see that Bristol has got a new LGBTQ nightclub?
Yeah, we're waiting for you to tell us how much fun it was.
don't think anybody
like
in this room
fun?
Is really. It's. I don't think it's aimed
where
at anybody
is
in this
Adair
room.
Where is Lara? When we need to really, reporting for
we
it.
We need to send them down. But yeah, no. Rush. I think it's on Baldwin Street, and it opened on Friday. So
wow.
Yeah, I think that's. That's really great that a new venue is opening, and yeah. I think that's really because you do hear stories all the time of you talk about like these legendary gay night spots
yeah.
from London and the place, and also like Terry and I were just talking about there's plenty of places in Bristol that are no longer around, and it's great that still new venues are opening yeah. and there's still yeah. still a
I think there's still a need for it, isn't there,
you know? Well yeah, I mean there's a lot when you're like you think about Strange Brew, the Jam Jar, Lost Horizons, they're all incredibly queer friendly, and there are tons of LGBTQ nights at those kinds of venues now, so I think that has definitely filled a bit of a that's definitely filled a niche
it is,
in Bristol.
It is different explaining it to some of the youngsters. I mean, because I'm 47, and when I came out in 96, it
yeah,
was...
It was like people that are like 20 and that.
So it was sorry, very different. Andy. It was a very yeah. It's all right. Just take the mickey out of me.
It will.
I mean, what you're here for?
I mean, it was a very, very different thing because it was actually a protected community, and
yeah,
you could legally
right.
have it as a protected space. Yeah. You know, and trying to explain that to youngsters today who come out and they see a lot more of the integration where, you know, the Equality Act has kicked in, and
yeah.
you know, it's far more accepted now, and you don't have that need as much. It's just completely different culture.
I think, though, yes, but also for trans people at the moment, having safe spaces is more important than yeah. it even was. Well, more yeah. so now than it was 10 years ago. And there's some incredible things going on in Bristol, Bath, you know, even in small towns.
Yeah.
You know, some lovely, lovely events, weekly, monthly.
But the gay scene was a clubbing.
Yeah,
clubbing
of course.
Thing,
of course.
Whereas
it was.
I think there's lots
it's
of.
It's definitely
we've,
a lot
we've
wider.
Diversified
and
a lot more
done,
now.
That's good.
And,
yeah. We've got book clubs
know.
Now.
I mean, there's one especially for us, Lucy, where you can actually go and have a disco in the afternoon.
What, for old gay people?
In Bristol, yeah.
What? Don't tell
there
me,
is actually a nightclub that's an afternoon club
is
in Bristol.
Is that a place where they turn the music down if it's too loud? Yeah.
Yes, please. I'll take my noise cancelling headphones and sit in the corner. And
it finishes at about 6 o'clock in the evening.
Is that I know Club Loco does lots of... Is that a queer day clock time club, or is that just like Alfresco Disco, which is aimed at old people because it's done by...
Oh, and there's a few,
done by
isn't
five
there?
O'clock.
I keep seeing that.
Great.
Hello.
They
we are those people, Lucy.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
They obviously do targeting advertising because it appears on my Facebook.
It has targeted you. Yeah, it's definitely got your number.
Yeah. There's so many things going on, though. And it's not... Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Like, obviously, we're about 20 years apart in age. But when I was growing up...
That is rude.
Steph, could you take her back
yes,
to the field, please?
Right. Well...
I'm just joking. When I was growing up, there really were, you know...
Have you stopped growing up yet?
No.
No.
I'm Peter Panning to the very end. There were gay nights, queer nights. We didn't have the word queer, so there was gay nights, LGBT nights. And it was, like, specific nights for gay people, whether that was in, like,
depending
pubs
where you were,
or
yeah.
clubs. But in small towns, and
you just have a night.
You just... Or a pub.
Like I can remember. Was it? Yeah. I think it was down Taunton, kind of way. There used to be a nightclub called Boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had... It was something like Wednesday or a Thursday night, and everyone was, and it was the only gay night in the area.
The only, yes.
So although it was
exactly
like midweek, it would be absolutely heaving. But
go.
The problem is, you couldn't get too drunk because everyone had to go to work the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, but it was so ridiculous because I used to go to the one in Weston, and you just ended up stood out basically in the road.
Oh, did you?
Because
you
yeah, because there were so many people. Well, I did start in, and then I ended up out because it was
story of your life.
I know. Closet hopper. But yeah, it was interesting times. But thankfully there is stuff now that's weekly of there's places
yeah.
for people to go.
And we've
weekly.
Had some brilliant names as well, like R7.
Yeah. R7.
What a name for a gay club, the letter R and the number 7. But
why?
It's now the old Market R. Assembly.
Oh,
but
right.
It opened as Wins, then it became Flamingos, then it became R7 for
Flamingos.
A while.
Flamingos.
Yeah.
Wow, I remember Flamingos.
Yeah. I do remember Flamingos. Yeah, yeah. I think when I was a student, that was going.
And we had a bi event that was called Greedies. 3D.
Famously, in Manchester, Canal Street, somebody keeps painting over the C and the S.
Yeah, Tipex sales are very high.
Very high. They keep redoing it, so it's been a standing joke for 20 years.
Why not?
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do keep up to date and listen again. You can find out all about us at Shout Out Online.
Yes, you can. Go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. And don't forget, I love that, And don't forget, contact us if you'd like to get involved with the show.
Next week, as we all know, it's cool to be trans.
Yeah.
From myself, from Terry, from I'm forgetting names. Oh God.
And Ezra and Steph and Lucy and Tara.
And Tara, yeah. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.